The Gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Especially is to make sure that the believers, especially those who are desirous of knowing the Word, understanding the Word, get a basic understanding of how to study the Word. Now, a lot of times, you know, we just open up and some of us study, well, I'm opening it up and wherever the page falls open at, I'm going to study. And that's fine if that's where, you know, you're just trying to see where God is taking you. And so the book just opens and that's where you start at. Others have a more, focused beginning. They may want to start in the New Testament. Some may start in Psalms, etc. Well, whatever works for you, that's fine. But what I want to do more than that, and whether or not you're a student of the Word, a seminarian or a scholar, I want to help you understand that when you focus your attention specifically on obtaining something from the Word, 9 out of 10 times you'll get it, or at least you'll be closer to getting it than just haphazardly going through. And it doesn't matter whether you study with commentaries, with resource books, et cetera, there should be a method to your study. In other words, there should be a guideline to basic Bible study. And there are many books out there on how to study the Bible, et cetera. But I want to introduce one that I think would be helpful regardless of which style you prefer. And it simply means, and I said it at the beginning of our new year, when you study the Word, there are three basic fundamental things you ought to look for in the Word. The first thing is you ought to look for the wisdom in the Word. The wisdom in the Word. Secondly, you ought to look for the working of the Word. The working of the Word. Then thirdly, you ought to look for the when from the Word. Now, that literally means when you open up the Bible, you have a foresight on what it is you want to accomplish in that Word. Now, this is study. This is not reading. This is studying the Word. Because one of the things that you'll realize is that God's Word is truth. His Word is the revelation of His mind in print. Now, that's just a portion, but it is the portion that is most necessary for you understanding in this life how you are going to make it from earth to glory and receive the benefits here and there, because God's Word is your manual. It is your ability to go in and understand all of the things of God. And as you grow and know His Word more and more, you will become stronger and more mature in the Word. Everything that God has placed in His Word is already there that He wants us to know. Here is something I want you to observe, though. But everything He wants for us to understand has not yet come out of it. That's why this one book, this Biblios, the collection of 66 little books bound together as one book, is the reason He hasn't given you another one. You ain't mastered this one yet. And I don't care how long you've been studying the word, 50, 60, 70, 100 years, you cannot exhaust the meaning and revelation of this word. So there's no sense in saying, oh, I know the word. I don't need to do all that studying. I know it. Do you? If you knew that, you wouldn't have made such an ignorant statement. Because you, listen, get more and more. Let me just, by show of hands, how many of you read something the first time and you didn't get it? You read it the second time, you still didn't get it. You read it the third time, you didn't get it. And then you read it the fourth time and you started to start understanding it. And so forth. And it wasn't until you continued to dig until you got more understanding. Has that happened to anybody? Every hand in the building ought to be that, unless you got a supernatural anointing and revelation on your life that nobody else can brag about. Because it's happened to all of us. And there are times, and that's one of the Bereans were a group of people who were so serious and sincere about the word of God that every time they heard a message preached, because back then in that day, they didn't have Bibles like you've got and can come and turn with the preacher and see if what he's saying is written in scripture. They had to go and search those things out. So they searched those things out that they were told on Sunday to make sure that they were right to live by. They didn't just accept it and go on about their business. They searched the word to see whether they were so. Now, how many of us would be better off if we had studied the word, opened the word, read the word with the man of God? A whole lot of folk have been led astray because they have just accepted whatever's been said. Especially if it sounds good. Especially when we got all of these cliches that we use in Christendom and we like the way that sounds, and yet we have no biblical proof for them. But we base our faith and our hope on stuff God didn't even say. And God is not under warrant to back that up. He is not under warrant to back up what John Montgomery says about his word. He's under warrant to back up what he said. That's why when we look at, again, the three basic scriptures I've used this year already, opening up, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. See, you know, you need to understand that God wants you to understand his word. Don't stop at just reading and not understanding what you're reading. When the Ethiopian man was trying to read the word and understand who they were speaking about, etc., Philip was invited into his chariot to help him understand the word. The man started back, Philip started back at Moses and brought it all the way up to Jesus. That man understood it and he said, what do I need? Water to be baptized. He said, there's some water, what doth hinder me? Once he got an understanding of what the word said, he was ready to be baptized immediately. You see, the whole point is, once you get that revelation and understanding of what God wants you to know, then and only then can you do what he wants you to do. And it's up to the believer to express and explain the things of God to non-believers so that non-believers will become believers. And so that means if you're going to be a witness, you're going to have to be able to give details about what you're witnessing to. I know a lot of you watch a lot of these, you know, detective shows and investigative shows, etc., and when they get an Law and Order and all of these kind of shows. Well, the whole point is when they get a witness, what do they ask the witness about? Whatever the crime or whatever the situation was, the witness is credible when the witness can give details of what they've seen. One of the things they do in selecting a credible witness is first ask them, what did they see and what do they know? He said, well, I didn't really see it, I just heard. Thank you very kindly. They move on, they don't need you because they know they know the prosecuting attorney would tear that all apart. You know, they know how to take one situation and ask a question 100 different ways. And if you know it, guess what? You know it. But if you've been rehearsed and don't really know it, they can ask it so that minute details are revealed. And if you weren't there and you don't really know it, then you can't stand the pressure. And a lot of folk then, you know, they crack under the pressure. You ought not be able to fear speaking about the man that saved you, healed you, delivered you, set you free, blessed you. You ought to be able to tell anybody about that. It ought to be able to stand under the worst of scrutiny. You ought to be ready to share that's on the inside of you with anybody. But some of us are terrified at witnessing or saying anything about Christ, so we avoid the subject altogether. And people are on their way to hell because we don't have the word in us enough to speak about our God. So we want the wisdom in the word. We want the wind from the word because that's where we benefit from all of those things. Now there's so much in these three principles. I'm going to deal just with wisdom tonight. Proverbs 4:11 says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. P-A-T-H-S. Right paths. Plural. All right. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right? You remember God's word is truth, and it is the written revelation of God's mind. So you got something powerful in the word of God. What is the first thing I should look for in the wisdom of the word? Here it is, insight. Insight. Insight is what is necessary to reveal to me God's purpose for whatever it is that's going on in my life, in the world, in what God wants to come, and all of that. It's insight. Insight. If I have insight, then I have an understanding of why he wants me to do things the way he wants me to do it. Now, because he's God, and because he knows everything there is to know, he knows the best way to do something. Well, here's what you need to know. If God will take out time and give me his word so that I will understand what it is he wants, don't you think it makes sense for me to take out time and get acquainted with it? If he's going to give me the mysteries of his word to unfold so that anybody who picks up the Bible can read it, but anybody can interpret it. And he begins to unfold those truths to me, give me, you, insight to his word means he gives us understanding and revelation to that word because we're spending time in that word. We're studying and meditating on that word day and night. And so God is pleased with that. And the Holy Ghost is the one who brings the revelation of that word to us in such a manner that what didn't make sense before now makes sense. And when I understand that, listen, it is for the purpose of me being able to access the deeper, better, richer things of God beyond those who are just at a place where they have not spent with God. They have not gone beneath the surface. And so God rewards us by giving us insight. Again, starting at the beginning, Genesis 8 and 22. Do you know why a lot of people really don't like tithing and giving and talking about that? Because they really don't understand the principles. They don't understand that God has placed a divine structure in order. You have to sow before you reap. You have to release before you receive. You have to give before you get. That's God's way. That's God's way. God shows you it's his mode of operation. Even, now let me just throw this out for some of you all. I don't know what the big numbers for the lottery is, this, but I know it's gone up since nobody won it Saturday. Huh? 1,400,000. All right. Now, here is the truth. I don't care how much you pray to win that lottery. You don't have a snowball's chance in a hot place to win it if you don't buy a ticket. That means something left your hand and you got a ticket. So that now you have a chance to win. See, with the world, it's taking a chance. With God, it's operating a principle. I sow, I reap. Now, in the world, you take a chance because the world does not function by the whole principles of God. Satan never does. He twists things. He turns things. He make it appear as though he's following God's principles, but it is not so. That's why you've got to be wise enough to know the tricks of the enemy. He uses what's called a half-truth. And a half-truth is worse than a whole lie because he uses what part of truth you can identify with and then sneaks in the rest of that that you've not researched or that you have any knowledge of. That's wrong. And so, gullibly, you take it all in and say, I know that's right. No, you knew a part of that that was right, but do you know all of it? So when it says, as long as the earth remaineth, he said there's going to be four things that happen. Four things. The first of those four things is there will be seed time and harvest. Let me give you a little help you understand what insight is. A lot of people don't understand that seed time is a time to sow seed, but harvest time is a time to harvest the seed that's been sown. Between the seed and the harvest is the word time. It's going to take time when the seed leaves your hand to germinate and to go through all of its steps and procedures to produce a harvest. You've got to realize that what you don't see when the seed leaves your hands does not mean that the seed is not working even when days and weeks and months pass and you don't see the seed growing from under the ground. There is so much that has to take place underneath the ground that in the end, it's going to produce a harvest. Well, time, listen, because of the insight that you know that once I release the seed, do my part, I have to wait the necessary time for the harvest to come. A part of that process is time. Now, what a whole lot of us is, and I had to learn this, and I was really, really blown away by the fact that most of us know that the Bible says God will give seed to who? To the sower. But let me ask you something else. Do you know who he gives the harvest to? I've heard several answers here. He gives the harvest. Why don't you say it out loud if you think you know the answer? To the sower? Okay, let me ask you a question. Have you ever sown something and haven't received yet? Come on, be real with me now. God knows I have. I mean, I've sown some stuff and hadn't seen it. I'm like, all right, God. All right, now I know I sowed in faith, but why am I not receiving? Because time in his principles help you to understand that part of the time is developing an expectation. When the farmer does all that he can do, the rest of his time is looking forward to receiving the harvest. You see, you can't do any more beyond sowing the seed and doing your part and cultivating the seed. As far as the seed is concerned, now your attention, now that that time has passed, must turn to being a receiver of the harvest. And with the same due diligence that you have sown that seed, you have to live with an expectation of receiving the harvest. Well, what does that mean? If there is a seed time, then there is a harvest time, or a time for harvest. I cannot harvest if it isn't harvest time. So that literally means this. You know, anybody who does any gardening, et cetera, done any reading, they know that when they plant, it has to be at a certain time during the year. They also know if they get a harvest, that that harvest is due at a certain time of the year. Here's what you do. You sow your seed and just say, I know I'm going to receive a harvest, and never look for the harvest to come in its season. You don't understand that sowing has to be done in faith. It's not just throwing seed in the ground and walking away, but it requires you to recognize that you have to have an expectation that I'm a receiver. I used to go around saying all the time, I'm a giver. I'm a giver. Until I recognized the insight of the word, now I says I'm a giver and a receiver. Because listen at this, when you are a receiver, you begin to speak your harvest back in. You begin to direct your harvest into its season. You are expecting it. If there is a delay and you are calling for your harvest, if you don't get it at the first rain, it's got to come by the latter rain. In other words, it's still going to be in harvest time, but when I expect it, and my sense of urgency about it depends on whether I get it in my beginning or the ending of the harvest season. Here's another thing you don't understand. If I do not, and my faith is what prepares the atmosphere, my seed can be planted in the ground and yet be dormant. In other words, I've done my part, but because I did not prepare the atmosphere of expectation for it to come back and come back in its season, it's in the ground, but it has not started its process of becoming a harvest yet. Because, listen, don't you know seed needs water, It needs sunlight. It needs nutrients, all of that. Well, that's prayer. That's praise. That's expectation that you place on them. Well, now I'm understanding. I just don't sow seed and expect God to do the rest. I still have a part to play. And so insight of the word helps you to have an expectation of what God is doing and understand if things get hung up, there is a spiritual entity hanging it up. Satan does not want what God has for you to reach you. Satan has been leased this world. Whatever comes from heaven has to come through this world to get in your hand. But because you belong to God, Satan doesn't have a right to stop your stuff. But he can run interference and slow it down. He can keep it from coming on time unless you put in your request for your stuff.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
You know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
If she didn't want to be picked on, she shouldn't wear that thing on her head.
If he's going to dress that way, he's just asking for the extra attention.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a stage.
All kids face something.
It's just a stage.
It's just a harmless rite of passage.
Don't validate, eliminate. All students in Louisiana deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
Hello, I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Lady Mildred Townsend.
And we're inviting you to join us for Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. KQJO, every Saturday from 11 until 12 o'clock p.m., praying for your most urgent prayer needs.
Prayer changes everything.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Divine Word of God, brought to you by Reverend Eugene Stevenson, host pastor of the New Jerusalem Baptist Church of Alexandria and New Beulah Baptist Church of Boyce, Louisiana. Now let's go into a service already in progress.
Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. We all have been through a lot. As long as we're living on this side, we're going